Hello, side people. And hello, side people. What's happening is we set up for Easter. We had our Easter egg hunt last night, and I said, or yesterday, I said, just take the tables down. We're going to set up for Easter, and then we don't have to worry about it this week. So anyway, I have a few announcements to share with you and a few statements to share with you. So we're going to do the announcements first. The youth, Kyle. Hey, Kyle, you asked me if you wanted to say, if I was going to let you say anything about Only Imagine, and I said no, but you know what? People like you. Why don't you say something, Kyle? Hey, doesn't he look like Jesus? We had a play yesterday. Saul says that Kyle should cut his hair and beard. We used him yesterday. He actually was Jesus during the Easter egg hunt, right? Yeah, so, okay.
I'm used to every day by God. So yeah. That's the great part. Now I can just use my beard.
We're supposed to be transformed into the image of Christ.
Be like Jesus, look like Jesus.
All right. So I'm going to grow my hair and beard.
About time.
All right.
You'll look way better.
Okay.
All right.
Remember that pay raise you were getting?
All right. So tonight, we are actually, as a youth group, and everybody's invited if they would like to come. We're meeting here at the church at 6, and Don was nice enough to point out that my image got cut off. We're going to be going to Van Wert Cinemas tonight over in Van Wert, Ohio, and we're going to go see I Can Only Imagine. So if you're interested in coming, we're going to meet here at the church at 6 o'clock. The movie starts at 7. If you want, you can just meet us right there. We're expected probably to get back here around 9:30, 10 o'clock. The movie is about 2 hours long is what I got told. It does cost $8, and then if any snacks or anything you want, just bring money for that. And as a heads up, because I've learned this lesson and the youth will never let me forget this, it is cash only at Van Wert. Do not go and expect to use your card, or you'll have to have one of the youth pay for everybody. Learn that lesson the hard way.
They can finally pay for me?
No, you got to pay for yourself, sorry. Oh.
So Kyle comes up and he says, hey, Pastor, you want to go to Only Imagine? I said, sure. He says, oh, can you bring your van? Oh.
Hey.
You're just using me for my van.
I love your van. And you. It's perfect.
Which one do you love more? Somebody's got to ask a question. I heard somebody say, hey. Okay.
I think it was just you.
It's just me. Okay. So Only Imagine, we're meeting here at 6 and we're going to Van Wert. Okay. How many came to the Easter egg hunt? Okay. Who all didn't come to the Easter egg hunt? Okay, we're going to show you a couple videos. I think the first one is the candy cannon, and then we're going to have another one where the mob of kids goes out here. So I just wanted to show you some of the things that happened.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I learned a valuable lesson in that candy cannon. You don't put hard Jolly Ranchers in them. So I saw all these kids going, ah! They're getting hit on the head.
I'm scared, yeah.
But, yeah. Okay, now let's go to this one.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
That is the 10 to 12 year olds. We had four sections, 0 to 2, 3 to 5, 6 to 9, and 10 to 12. Mental note, we had less 10 to 12, but they got more candy because we put the same amount everywhere. Is that it? Oh, okay. Whoop, back up.
5!
You know, I told you I wasn't going to do it, and I did it. Okay. Hey, okay, here we go. Here are the statistics yesterday. Last year we had 450 people at the Easter egg hunt. This year we had 700. Everybody say, ooh. Ah. Yeah, let's clean clap. Well, you guys. We did present the gospel. We did invite them to church. We did give them the service times. We did... what did we do? We had 10 door prizes for the adults. We We found out that we had three movie stars in the church because one of the door prizes was who was on national TV, and we had three of them. I didn't raise my hand because I was on national TV for murder. Seriously, I was. But Polly was on national TV for her brain. I ought to show it to you sometime. Anybody remember on ABC they had Your Week in Three Words? You remember that? It was on Saturday morning. Well, we put her on there, and so she was national TV. So, let's see, what else? Oh, and I'm going to close on this. Here we go. Now that the egg hunt is over, we are focusing on our next big outreach, T-ball. We are looking for coaches for T-ball. Let Danny Stoss know, back row, raise your hand, Danny. If you are interested in T-ball. Also, if you're interested in being a greeter, there will be greeters training on April the 8th after the second service. If you're interested in being a greeter on Sundays, we need you to be there. We've got greeters now. That's great. We love you. We'd love to have more of them. What we'd like to have, but we want to train you a little bit on what we need. You know, there's a lot of things we need in the church. When it comes to the greeters. So we really, we're going to sit down, talk to you, what we need, if there's information. These are the gift packets and all this other stuff. So we're going to be doing that. So we'd love to have you here after the second service. Now you're going to feed us, right, Danny?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to be fed prime rib. No. Okay, how about turkey? Yeah, no turkey. So, all right, that's all I got today. What I want you to do is I want you to stand up right now. I want you to turn around, and this is what you have to do. You have to go up to say, hi, my name is, and reach out your hand. My name is, and like Polly, hi, my name is Pastor Dunton. So everybody do that. Remember, we're going to have a quiz after church. My name is Pastor Dunton.
Oh, you didn't say
you're the Easter Bunny.
I don't think I've ever had so many kids on my lap as in years past.
Yeah, it was something. It was something. All right, today is also Noise Offering Sunday. And what we do is we have the kids come, and they take these little cans out, and you put the change that's in your pocket and in there, and they bring it up here, and it goes to our missionaries that we support. Chad and Doris Schellenbarger and Tabitha and Devin Dillinger are the missionaries that we support. So kids, come on down and take a can.
Is there sun coming up in my soul, Lord, in my soul? Is there sun coming up in my soul, Lord, in my soul? I see the light.
I see the light. right. I'll bring some clarification to my statement. I was in a background photo, okay? That's what, I didn't kill anybody. All right. Let's do our call to worship today. Let's say it together. Welcome, run with us towards the place of sorrow. Shout the good news. Christ is risen. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we just pray that all that we do and all that we say today brings you 100% glory and honor. We pray that today that we will see Jesus in all that we do. So we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen. Well, good morning, church. Stand with us and we'll open in song this morning. We're told in Zechariah 9:9, and I'm going to change it. I'm going to change it from Jerusalem to Mercer County. Rejoice greatly, people of Mercer County. Shout for joy, people of Mercer County. Your king is coming. He does what is right, and he saves. He is gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt of a donkey. So, people of Mercer County, you have palm branches, and we are commanded to rejoice greatly. So I encourage you to rejoice in the Lord this morning and wave your palm branches and sing with everything that you have in you this morning.
Save the day, and I know. will be the only name that matters to me, the only one whose favor I seek, the only name that matters to me. Yours will be the friendship and affection I need to feel my Father smiling on me, the only name that matters to me.
Presence with all of our brothers and sisters in Christ.
Worthy is the Lamb. UCC.
To do something a little different this time for our prayer time. I want us to take a moment and think of someone who is struggling with something today. If it's a decision they need to make, if it's a family member that's struggling with an illness, if it's a friend struggling with something, or maybe we know someone who is totally down on their luck. I want us to just take a moment before we pray and think of them. Bow our heads and just think of that. And then when we pray, we'll ask our dear Lord to guide them and direct them with that decision they need to make. So let's just take a moment and bow our heads. Dear gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come to you today thankful that we can come together as a church family and worship today, Lord. Father, we thank you for the ability to be able to come out freely and worship you, Lord. It is a true gift that we have, and we have such a beautiful building and a beautiful place, Lord, so we're thankful for that. We thank you for always allowing our cup to overflow here. Father, our building was full yesterday of many people who have never been around church before, Lord, who have been here before, Lord, but we just thank you for that opportunity to share your word with them and your love, Lord. It was grateful, and we thank you for that opportunity. We thank you for the many hands that worked at that, preparing the meal, preparing the candy, preparing everything, Lord. It's just a true blessing that we have that outreach here at the church, Lord, and we're just thankful for that. Father, we want to take a moment to thank you for answered prayer. We thank you for being with our brother Dave as he went through his surgery, Lord. Lord, it's a true blessing that he's back home already, Lord, and healing. We thank you for that. We thank you for the miracle that took place there, Lord, and we just lift him up in prayer for continued healing and just be with him, Lord. We thank you for being with the family. It's just a true blessing to see your work happen there, Lord, so we're blessed for that. Father, we want to take this time to think of the people we were thinking of, Lord, that is struggling, whether it's with an illness, whether it's a friend that's struggling with the decision that they need to make, whether it's a couple struggling with a marriage, whether it's just a friend struggling with something. Lord, and we lift them up to you in prayer right now. We ask that you would be with them. We ask that you would touch them today with your love, your grace, and your mercy to let them know that they are loved by you, and that you are with them. Father, I ask that you would just be with them. Father, I lift up our country in prayer to you today, Lord. If we watch the news, from shootings to bombings to natural disasters, Lord, there's many people that are lost. And our government arguing over a budget and things like that, Lord. So we just lift our country up to you and just ask that we would turn back to you, that we would turn back to your ways, so that you could guide us and direct us as to things that we need to do and your will be done, Lord, because we know when we follow your will that many great things happen. And it's just a true blessing. Father, we think of our men and our women who are serving their post today in the armed forces. Lord, I just ask that you would be with them, protect them, keep them safe, and bring them back home safe, Lord. And then I pray that there's a day that we don't have to send them to places to do what they're doing, Lord. Father, we thank you for always being there for us, for always guiding us and directing us. Lord, I know we don't always do the things that we do, say the things that we should say, act the way that we should. We don't read our Bibles like we should, Lord, but you pick us up and dust us off and put us back on the right path, Lord, and we're just thankful for that. So, Father, we just are truly blessed to have you, and we're just thankful. Father, I pray for Pastor as he brings forth the message today. Lord, I ask that you would move him out of the way. I would ask that you would allow him to say the things that we need to say, and then I pray that it falls on fertile ground and then that we can apply it to our everyday lives. So, Father, we turn this time over to you now, and we ask for your blessing upon it. And it's in your name we pray. And all God's people said, let's continue to worship by giving of our tithes and our offerings.
The King of glory coming on the clouds with fire, and the whole earth shakes, the whole earth shakes. I see his love and mercy washing over all our sin. The the people sing, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna, Hosanna, generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith, with selfless faith. I see a near revival stirring as we pray.
Thank you for sharing in song today. We've got it. You don't realize how good you got it. The music that is here at this church. And so, once again, thank you, Abby. And what's your name, your group? Abbyettes? Abby and Crew? Abby and Great People? Abby and Worship Team? Okay, Abby's out of here. Worship team. There we go. So anyway, thank you. They put a lot of hard work in. I just want to give kudos to them. All right, we are now entering into Holy Week. As many of you know, this is Palm Sunday because you got a palm when you came walking in here today. And it's just to remind you that Jesus on that Palm Sunday came walking or riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, and everybody was praising him. And then, just a few days later, now they're screaming, "Crucify him, crucify him." It's amazing how fickle people are. It's amazing how quickly people turn. And I think it's just amazing, because here's somebody, oh yeah, it's Jesus, Jesus, all right, here he comes. But they were thinking that he was going to come in and he was going to get rid of the Romans, because they didn't want the occupation of the Romans anymore. And here he comes, he's going to take care of everything. And he didn't do it. And they didn't do it according to their plan. Instead, Jesus went low. And the title of the sermon today is Go Low. I actually stole it from somebody else, so I don't plagiarize. I gave it, I took it from, I can't remember his name, but it was a good sermon I listened to. I can't think of it now. But anyway, I did take it from somebody else, so don't give me the credit, all right? It was a Calvary Church in Dallas, I think is where it came from. But I just thought it was really interesting, because he was really encouraging his congregation to go low. Go low, meaning be willing to get dirty for the cause of Christ. Be willing to do things that you normally wouldn't do for the cause of Christ. Because love is not about you. Love is about someone else. And that's where I want to really define what agape love is for you once again. The reason why I've been spending a lot of time on love is in this past Easter season, it's primarily because we in America, in the Western culture, have a warped view of what love actually is. You remember there are three types of love. You got eros, which is erotic type of love, and that's actually the lowest type of love that's there. Then you have phileo, or the friendship type of love. That's the type of love that says, I like you, and I'm going to like you as long as you like me. Kind of a kindergartner type of love. Do you like me? Yes, okay, then I like you. And so let's go over and let's play together. And then if they get in a fight, well, I don't like you anymore, and they go off and they do whatever. Okay, any kindergarten teachers hear that at all? Or probably it's more of a first or second grade type of thing you hear. Then you have the agape type of love. An agape type of love that says, I'm going to love you regardless. That's the type of love that is actually promised at the wedding ceremonies. You remember that? I promise to love you and cherish you in sickness and in health, in joy and in sorrow, and in whatever else there is, because I can't think of it. But that's the type of love that's actually there, because what you're asking for, what you are pledging publicly is this: I will love you even if you don't love me back. Boy, that's a hard one to think about. I know I shared this story with you before, but I think it's so relevant. But it is the most loving thing I ever saw was in Edgerton, Ohio. There's a nursing home there. It was called Parkview Nursing Home. I don't know if it still is or not, Parkview. But there was a man there that would go to see his wife every day. He was probably upper 30s or early 40s, and his wife was hit by a Mack truck, literally was hit by a Mack truck, and she was brain damaged. And she could not speak. She could not react to him in any way. She could walk, but barely. But she could not respond to him every day. Every day, he would go in and see her. Every day, he would go to see her at the nursing home. Even though she could not love him back, he continued to love her. And he continued to be with her. And the reason why I know her is because I used to drive a non-emergency ambulance service where I would go in Williams County, Ohio, and I would pick people up and take them to the doctor's offices. And we would go pick her up, and we would take her to the emergency room, or we would take her to the doctor's office. And she couldn't say anything, but he was with her. He stayed with her. That's agape love. And so agape love is defined as unconditional love that is always giving and impossible to take or be a taker. It devotes total commitment to seek your highest best, no matter how anyone may respond. Hear that? I will love you irregardless of how you respond to me. This form of love is totally selfless and does not change whether the love is given or returned or not. That's the type of love that parents will give, especially to little babies. Because what do babies do? They just sit there and they eat and they make messes. That's all they do. And they go, and they cry, and they keep you up all night, right? But yet you still love that little baby, even though that baby doesn't do anything for you. But all of a sudden, something happens. Maybe around 6 months or so, and all of a sudden that baby goes, Mommy. And the baby's now smiling at mommy. And what does mommy's heart do? Oh, and she really falls in love with that baby. And then the baby starts crawling and comes up to mommy. And does it go, oh, mommy, mommy, mommy. And you really fall in love. And then the baby becomes a teenager. I am thoroughly convinced that if babies were born teenagers, there would be a population problem. There would be no population. Because what happens in the teenage years? Me. It's all about me. Here I am. It's about me. I'm not happy. I'm not. And you're all going to take care of me. And you're telling me to do something and you're making me work. Wait a minute. I got to finish this video game. And don't you dare take my cell phone because it's my cell phone. Right? See, that's what teenagers become. So the key is to teach people how to be babies again. How to love unconditionally. And that's what Jesus did. And we're going to be looking at two scripture passages today. We're going to be looking at Luke chapter 22, and then we're going to go to John chapter 9. Or to chapter 13. But before we get to Luke chapter 22, I'm going to ask you a question. Who is Jesus? This is very important for this sermon today. Who is he? Let's ask this question with this video.
Jesus.
Who is Jesus?
That's the question.
That's the question.
Was he a real person?
What did he say?
What did he do?
What made him so special?
What made him different than any other man in history?
The records show.
His birth was a miracle.
His mom was a virgin and she was pregnant.
He made the blind see.
The deaf hear.
The mute speak.
The paralyzed walk.
He healed terrible diseases.
He knew what was in men's minds.
He knew what was in men's hearts.
He knows what is in men's hearts.
He knew the story of people's lives without ever having met them.
He spoke with authority.
He amazed teachers.
He amazed everyone.
Nature obeyed him.
He turned water into wine.
He walked on water.
He walked on top of the water.
He could change the weather.
He fed 5,000 people from one lunchbox.
He brought people who were dead back to life.
He loved sinners.
He loved everyone.
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 He forgave sins.
He never made a mistake.
He never once sinned.
But we judged him.
We whipped and beat him.
We spit on him.
And we killed him.
He loved us anyway.
He loves us anyway.
He died for us.
He died so that we wouldn't have to.
He paid for our sins with his life.
Did I mention he loves us?
He came back to life.
He was dead.
Then he was alive.
A lot of people saw him.
He is coming back.
Who is Jesus?
That's a big question.
That's the big question.
What does it even matter?
What does it matter to you?
Who is Jesus?
My answer doesn't matter to you.
Only your answer matters to you.
Who do you say that he is?
Who do you say that he is?
So who is Jesus? Why is this so important in this discussion today? And I think it's so important because we're going to be talking about serving one another. We're going to be talking about who Jesus is. You see, I love things that just blow my mind. And that's why I like astronomy. And I'm not one of these people who look up in the sky and say, oh, the diameter of this is this. But I do know that the Bible states that God created the heavens and the earth. And the Bible also states that Jesus was part of the creation process. So when you look up in the sky at night and you see all this and you see these wonderful things, Jesus was part of that. He created the Milky Way galaxy, 100,000 light years broad, where if you travel at the speed of light, it's going to take 100,000 years for you to go from one end to the other. Where we have suns, our stars out there, that 1 million of our suns would fit in. And the Bible says that Jesus created that. It says that he sits at the right hand of God the Father. And then you see, according to the Bible, that all of a sudden, God looks down on this planet that he created, and he created these human beings that totally disregarded him, and he says, I love them, and I'm going to show them the full extent of my love. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to come down, and I'm going to pay the price for their sins, and I'm going to pay their price so that they know that how much I really love them. And so he left, Jesus left, the Son of God, the third part of the Trinity, left the Godhead and came to this earth and was implanted in a woman. I don't know how it happened, I just know it happened. That's why I use the word implanted. Put in the womb of a woman, and he was formed after 9 months. This God that created all there is now inside this woman, and then goes through the birthing process, and now is totally dependent upon a human being, where he has to be fed by her and nursed by her and change the diapers, if they had diapers back then, and had to be totally taken care of by humans. And then he starts going to Jewish school or the synagogue, and these kids are all teasing him as boys do. And, oh, look at you, look at Jesus, you know, your mom and dad, remember, you know, your mom and dad only been married for 6 months, and here we are. You know he paid that price. Then after 30 years, he started gathering some disciples. Disciples are learners, and they're people who believe so strongly in that they're going to allow their lives to be changed. Started gathering them up, and he started teaching about the kingdom of God. The religious leaders, who were actually designed to give praise to God, were rejecting him all the time. Even though he was proving the fact that he was divine in the miracles that he did. Then something happened. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, a dispute broke out amongst the disciples. This is Luke chapter 22. A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was considered the greatest. So here the disciples are gathering together, they're in the upper room, and all of a sudden they're now arguing. What are they arguing about? I'm better than you are. Teacher likes me best. And so they're arguing back and forth about this. And Jesus, I can just imagine him. He's going, oh, come on. You ever do that, parents? Oh, come on. I just spent 3 years with you. I just taught you about the kingdom of God. And now you're arguing over who's the best? Oh, give me a break. Then what does he do? Go to John chapter 13, verse 1. It was just before Passover festival. Jesus knew that his hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into the basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around them. When I was in India, a couple weeks ago, we visited 10 churches. We were there for 10 days, but we visited 10 churches for, I think it was probably 6 days we visited 10 churches. So we were pretty exhausted. And I decided I was going to wear sandals the whole time. So I wore my sandals. And we would go down the dusty paths, and we'd walk down these paths, and we'd go into these churches that were dirt or wherever. And my feet got kind of caked with dirt. And that's pretty much what Jesus had back then, at Jesus' time, because they wore sandals. They didn't have the shoes that we did. They didn't have the steel-toed shoes. And so they would wear sandals as they were walking down the road. And they didn't have socks on. And so as you're walking down the road, your feet are becoming caked with dirt and dung and everything else that you can find on the road. And so you go into these houses, and they would wash the feet. And the reason why they wash the feet is very simple. Your feet are dirty, right? Now, how many of you make your children take their shoes off before they come into the house? So that you don't track the mud into the house. So, I mean, they're walking into the house, and of course, it's, you know, cement or dirt or whatever else, and they had on there. And you can see the footy prints. So the servant would come, and the servant would wash the feet of those who were coming in. That job went to the lowest servant. So if there were 10 slaves in the house, it went to the one they didn't like the most. Because you had to get down, and you were taking all this gunk off these people's feet. Now, when I was in India, let me go back a little bit. I was walking with the sandals, and we went to two churches where they did that. As soon as we walked into the churches, the women of the church took us into an area, courtyard area, sat down with us, and took our shoes off, and they washed our feet, and I saw the black of my feet just go into the basin. And it was kind of refreshing, too. It really was. I go, oh, this feels good, because it was only 93 degrees there. Oh, this feels good. And so Jesus, trying to illustrate this to his disciples, he went up and he took off his outer clothing and he wrapped a towel around his waist. He even took on the form of a servant. And he went and he grabbed his disciples, he knelt down, and then he started to wash their feet. He was showing them the full extent of his love. Jesus was giving the example of washing the feet. He was giving the example of going low. Going low. All right, women. I want to talk to you. A couple months ago, I had a sermon where I was talking about the difference between male and female, right? Remember that? And I was talking about movies. And so what are the movies guys like? You know, Saving Private Ryan. One of my favorite is Bringing Chance. It's about an Iraqi war veteran who came home and they followed his casket all the way. I'm sitting there crying. I don't cry at movies. I'm just crying. Why do you like The Notebook? Why do you like those types of movies? They're so boring. I saw a commonality. The commonality is you love the movies where the man is willing to stay with the woman and go low for her behalf. That's what it was. And so Jesus puts that on and he goes low. And he says, you know what, I'm going to wash your feet. I'm going to do this for you. And he was demonstrating the importance of humility in love. Love is not about you. The strongest love is not about you. And that is what is so hard, because we as human beings are very selfish in nature. We are very self-centered. We'll say, you know what? I remember in the 80s, the big thing in the 80s is for pastors and churches is you need to develop the church that meets the needs of the people. And so what happens? People go into church and they get disgusted or angry and they said, you're just not meeting my needs. And then they go down to another church to meet their needs. And then they get frustrated there and say, you're not meeting my needs. And then they go to another McDonald's or they go to another Burger King. Okay, that is so false, because the Bible comes right out. What's the purpose of the church? The purpose of the church is to glorify Jesus Christ. And the purpose of the church is for each of us to serve one another. That's what the purpose of the church is. And when we come to the point as a church where we are humble enough and we are demonstrating that love by loving one another, by serving one another, that, my friends, is the happy church. Hear this. How many were involved with the Easter egg hunt yesterday? Okay. How many had fun yesterday? Okay. How about that kitchen crew? And they're in there, and they're cutting up the strawberries, and they're cutting up the bananas, and the pastor comes in, steals the strawberries, and eats some of them, and then eats the blueberries, and get out. Okay, and all this is going on. Did you enjoy it? Yes. Why? Because you were serving somebody. And I've heard of Easter egg hunts where you know the women are killing each other so their kids can get the egg. And I'm going, that's not serving one another. It's not natural, but it's demonstrated by Jesus that we are to serve one another. And that love is also demonstrated on something else, on the cross. Because here's Jesus. We are now entering into Holy Week. What does Jesus do? He purposely goes to Jerusalem, knows he's going to die on the cross, knows he's going to be rejected by his disciples, and knows that that he was going to be beaten to a pulp, he was going to be put on the cross. These people who were singing Hosanna one day were going to turn on him and say, crucify him and crucify him. He knew that was going to happen, but he did it because he loves us. Because he wanted to show the full extent of God's love. He went to the cross. And the key to salvation is humility. And that, my friends, is why I believe God said, you can do nothing to earn your salvation. It is a gift that I have given to you, because we have to come to the point where we humble ourselves and we say, yeah, God, I can't do it on my own. Yeah, God, I am a sinner. I've lived a life of selfishness. Yeah, God, I'm wrong. I need you. And so when we say we love God, we are saying, I'm going to follow you and I'm going to do everything that you want me to do, God, irregardless of what you do for me. Right. Seriously, that's what it's saying. Because you're never promised a perfect life, but you are promised the presence of God throughout your life. Who ever thought that in 1970, 76, my barn would burn down, 300 of our hogs, and we had the biggest barbecue in Allen County, Fort Wayne history, that destroyed our family farm. Because right after that fire, then we got rhinitis. And if anybody grew up with pigs, you understand what rhinitis is. And then we got pseudorabies, and it just tanked from there. We had at one time the boar. That's a male pig, by the way. We had the boar that people wanted because we had built up the stock in it, and it's gone. Why, God? Why did you do this to us? He never promised us a reason. But he did promise he would be with us through it. So when we come to the cross and we say, God, I need you, and then we say, God, I love you, what we are essentially saying is, God, I will follow you, even if it means that you're calling me to be a missionary to India. Now, personally, I hope not, because I did not fall in love with the country. But are we willing to if he calls us? John MacArthur says this, only humble people love. The humbler you are, the less interested you are in yourself, and the greater your capacity to invest yourselves in someone else. So the stronger you love, the humbler you are, the stronger you are in love, in giving charity and receiving charity. Let me explain it this way. In the word agape, you actually get the word charity. Charity is loving somebody else and even giving to them. We all understand what charity is, right? Now, charity is also receiving it. Now, that's where we struggle in America, in Western culture. I have a real hard time accepting charity. I really do. But that's one of the things I had to learn as a pastor. I had to give up my right to my pride and basically say, you know what? I need to allow you to have the joy of giving. You understand what I'm saying? I want you to have the blessing. My first church, I had a man there named Dave Russ. Dave Russ was a pastor there, and Dave took me aside one day, and he had been out of the church for about 20 years and gone down to Dayton, Ohio, and he came up to me and said, Darwin, I'm going to tell you the biggest mistake I made in this church. he was pastoring the church. He says, when Eldo came up to me and says, I know you don't get paid much, but I want to give you $100. And that was in the 70s, and $100 meant a lot back then. He says, I'm going to give you $100. And he says, I fought him tooth and nail. I said, I will not take it. He says, he put it in my hand, and I actually put it right back on his hand. He says, I refuse to take it. He says, and I turned away. He says, Darwin, I looked back, and Eldo's Burkholder's look on his face was, I can't believe you just did that. He says, that was the biggest mistake I ever made because I was not giving him the opportunity to be blessed for his charity. See, we have no problem giving. Many times we have a problem receiving. Because that's where the pride comes in. And so here's Jesus. And Jesus goes up to his disciples and he says, you know, I want to show you the full extent of my love. I'm going to take on the form of a servant and I am going to wash your feet. And Peter goes, wait a minute, Jesus, you're not going to do that. His pride just kicked in. He says, you're not going to do that. And Jesus says, if you don't let me, you're going to have no part of me. Get rid of that pride is what he's saying. And then Peter says, well, then wash my whole body. And Peter, come on, Peter, understand what I'm trying to get across. So Jesus came and he went up to each of his disciples. And he went up to each of his disciples and he said, hey, I'm going to demonstrate this to you because I want you to do this as well. I want you, Thomas, to go to India, and I want you to be martyred in India. I want you, Peter, to eventually, you're going to be martyred upside down. And Apostle Paul, by the way, he didn't know him at that time. But yeah, he did, but you know what I mean. Apostle Paul, you're going to go to Rome, and you're going to be beheaded in Rome. And John, you're going to go to this island. It's going to be called Patmos. And you're going to be there at 80 years old, and you're going to be there, and eventually I'm going to give you the book of Revelation. But that's what you're going to do. You're going to be suffering for me. But it doesn't matter. Why doesn't it matter? Because this is for the kingdom of God. And in order for you to be effective in all that you do, you have to be willing to humble yourself. And maybe you won't get all you want, but I will take care of you. So he went and he took his disciples. He said, let me show you the full extent of my love. I've asked the elders to come up and I want to show you this. What he did. You see, Jesus, he said, come here, let me show you. I'm going to show you how much I love you. So he took off his outer clothing and put a towel around his waist. And I don't know if he was in his underwear or not. I don't know. But he was looking like a servant. Get up here, guys. You guys all scared or what? I said, get up here. Okay, so he went up to his disciples, and he put Kyle in the seat. He said, you know, the one that looks like Jesus. He said, Jesus, he said, I know you're trying to be just like me, Kyle, right? But you know what? I want you to understand how much I love you. And I want you to understand that you are of great value. And so he knelt down to disciple Kyle's feet. And he said, you know, he said, I'm going to clean all this off your feet. And I'm going to dry it. Because Kyle, you are of tremendous value. I died on the cross for you. And yeah, I understand that you've made some mistakes and you stepped in the dung.
It happens. It's Mercer County.
It's Mercer County. But that's okay. Because you are of great value. And I think Peter, if this was Peter, then Jesus would have said, I'm going to die this week. And you're going to disown me. But that's okay. He said, Peter, I love you. I love you, man.
Love you, too.
And then he went over to Daryl, disciple Daryl. He said, Daryl, you are so confident in what you believe. He said, you read my word every day. that's wonderful. He says, but Daryl, I just want to let you know that, man, you are so
cold water. Jesus.
Because of that, keep your foot in there. And he goes, Daryl, you destroyed the atmosphere here.
No, that's kidding.
And he said, Daryl, he says, you're the protector. You've got that real strong desire to protect. And, share the protection of God's word with other people. And he took the other feet. And he says, I gave you this foot. He says, but you're so valuable. He says, you're going to spread the word of God to the world. And then he goes, Daryl, I love you, man. Oh, I am so glad that you were created. Then he went over to Brian. Bartholomew. Okay? He went to Bartholomew and he says, hey, Brian, you got clean feet because I cleaned them earlier today.
The water was warmer this morning.
It was warmer this morning, wasn't it? And he says, you are so valuable. And I came and died for you, Brian. Because I want you to be with me forever and ever. He said, Brian, I'm so glad you're part of my church.
Thank you.
Then something should have happened, and it didn't. Who washed Jesus' feet that night? You see, we don't like being served. It's a prideful thing being served. When I became a Church of God pastor, and they said they do foot washing, I went, I have an ugly toe. Seriously, that's what I was concerned about. You see, I dropped water on my toe 20 years ago. A bucket of water. And the toe has never grown back right since. So I call it the ugly toe. So I become very self-centered. And I'm going, I don't want anybody to see this. And Jesus is saying, wait a minute. I know how you were created. You're concerned about an ugly toe, but yet you're not concerned about the sin in your life? Because that's pure pride. And so, in foot washing, for the Western church, our issue is somebody washing my feet. So then they wash. And sometimes we have to allow them the joy of serving in our lives. And Jesus served his disciples. Then he went to pray. Then they came and arrested him. I am thankful that I have a God who is willing to humble himself and take the very nature of a servant so that we can live with him in this life and forever. On Thursday night, we are going to have a Monday-Thursday service where we are going to be in the sanctuary and we are going to have communion and we're going to have a foot washing service. And we want to invite all of you to be part of that. We want you to experience the joy of serving and the joy of being served. We're going to have three areas. We're going to have a woman's area where the women can serve the women. We're going to have a men's area where the men can serve the men. And then we're also going to be having a family area. Maybe you husbands want to wash the feet of your bride or your children. So we're going to give you that opportunity as well. So that's Thursday, and we want to show that to you. And we want to invite you to that. We also say if you, as in anything, if you don't feel comfortable or right, just come to the service and just experience the joy of that. We've asked the children of the church, are they here? Yeah, they are. We're going to close off in a song, We Believe. And the children of the church are going to help us in this song. So, wherever they are, where's Miss Polly?
She's right there.
Oh, there she is. So they're going to help us. I'm going to move this out of the way so no one falls down. Oh, man, that's heavy.
Pastor, as we're moving around to get room for the kids, Miss Polly's been working with the kids on this song on Wednesday nights, teaching it to them and teaching them how this song represents the foundation of our faith. We say we believe in God the Father, we believe in Jesus Christ, we believe in the Holy Spirit. He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death. We believe in the resurrection and that He's coming back again. So it's so important that we teach these kids the foundation of these of scripture and of these songs. And they believe this. They believe this in their heart. And I just thank them for joining us on this song. I thank them for their ministry with these signs and with these words. I would invite you to sing with us. However, stay seated so that you can see their faces, so you can see their hearts. You can see that they believe the words that they're singing this morning. And as every week, the elders will be up here if you would ask or need them to pray with you. So just really make this part of your prayer life this week. Make this part of your prayer today, this morning.
In this time of desperation, all we know is doubt and fear. There is only one foundation we believe. We believe. Broken generation, when all is dark, You help us see. There is only one salvation. We believe. Great.
Thank the children for helping us today. Wasn't that nice? Let's close off by reciting the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God bless you all. Make sure you turn around to the person you greeted today, and you say, "Hi, Polly, I am so glad you are in the house of the Lord this morning."